Blog Talk Radio.
On this world, we can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directed to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325. And participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahsen Wasafen. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. And peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Especially today. Especially today, we want to talk to you. Oh, God. Anyway, I mean, I know my book. My book has been out, Beating Black Kids. It's been out since 2009, and I have not written another book of that subject matter because I don't need to. Now, that little 97, look, this is my baby. Boo, 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 boo. This little baby, look at that, thin, okay? It's about 97 pages of power, for real. Just going through it again. I was like, oh, my God. So what I want to do first is just set a tone for you to understand the book, what it deals with, and how it's being experienced, how it's been experienced over a decade, almost two decades, about a decade and a half. But I want to play a video of when I was on ABC and was being interviewed on a show called Here and Now about the book. And, yeah, just to give you a sense of what it is, how it impacts folks, and then we're going to go into it, baby. We're going to look at where did this come from, this behavior of beating our children. It's not in the cave drawings. It ain't there, okay? But not only where it came from, but what we're actually doing. So I'm going to play this video just to set the tone for you guys and be like, okay, mm-hmm. Oh, that's what she's dealing with. And then we'll take it from there and get to talking. So hold on, we're going to make it happen right now. hair screaming. Enjoy.
So first up, in just a moment, we'll meet the author of the controversial book, Beating Black Kids. Asada Kirkland says that no parent should ever spank their child. So we asked the New Yorkers how they feel about spanking.
I think it's not right because they're not going to get anything out of it. They're still going to do the same thing over. Doesn't make sense seeing them.
I think it's okay as long as you don't abuse them. I don't think spanking should harm them.
I am actually against it because I feel like it's, I think it's the parents admitting that they don't have any other tool in their toolbox.
Yes, it goes both ways.
Okay.
When you cannot reason with them, you know, it's like when you're like a baby and you can say, no, don't do that. You know, and sometimes some children doesn't listen and you go, that's tough.
I disagree. I think if you want to teach a kid how to be nonviolent, you should start at home by not hitting them.
Speaking on the form of this, I just think it's unnecessary now because our kids are so much more involved. They're so much smarter. They take things in totally different than, you know, years ago. So I think that it's just totally unnecessary.
I feel that is needed
to a certain point.
Well, you know, I'm like this, I'm old-fashioned. And I believe, you know, you just can't let a child do anything that they want to do. I also believe what the Word of God says, spare the rod and spoil the child. This is why today's society is what it is. So you let your children get away with it.
I don't think they should be severe. Like, they shouldn't overdo it.
When we come back, we'll meet the author of Beating Black Kids. She says parents who hit aren't helping their children. Asada Kirkland, the author of Beating Black Kids, has spent the last 15 years working with children, most of that time. Now she's working as a consultant, and she also conducts parenting workshops. She is, of course, also a mom. Thank you so much, Asada, for being here.
Thank you so much, Sonia.
This is the book, Beating Black Kids. That title really gets people talking.
Exactly.
What inspired you to write it? Why do you feel like it was a subject that needed to be addressed?
Definitely. What happened was, I had a stroke and was out of commission for like 2 months, and people had to watch my daughter. And they did a good job, but the issue about how you discipline children came up because she was under another person's care. And in that conversation, I found that the belief was that you can still hit the child, even though this person was a progressive person. And I said to myself, okay, I didn't know that still existed in people's minds, and woke up the next day with the idea, you got to write a book. And went out. When I returned to work, like 2 months after, there was a maintenance man, cook, and an administrator at the table, and I told them what the title of the book would be, and they went on for 3 hours with stories of their own about this experience, and I thought, oh my God, I have to address this, and I wrote the book because we're purging, like we really need to handle the issue.
Why do you think spanking is such a controversial topic, especially among black people? I mean, honestly, I was spanked. Most of my friends will tell you they were spanked, and some of them will say they were beaten. I may have been beaten. Why do you think that it's something that persists and that people have such a wide-ranging opinion about it?
You know, for us as a people, and people ask a lot of times, well, why does the book say beating black kids? Everyone gets beat. But in our culture, we act like it's a cultural norm, like this is what you're supposed to do. I don't think there's a black comedian out that doesn't laugh about the issue of how we've been beat. But it clearly comes from being slaves in America. And so people say, oh, I'm not an African American. Okay, colonialism. It all stems from being beat and disciplined with violence. And then we internalize it. You hear people back in the day say, well, I had to beat him so master wouldn't get him. And today's correlation is, well, I have to beat him or the police will get him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. So it's a derivative of that experience.
And your claim in this book, you say point blank that that is not a tradition that should be passed down. There are better ways to deal with children.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we can look at how we interact with each other as adults. And when we have differences, we don't just start up and fight each other. No, we communicate and we look at each other's viewpoints, and we can do the same thing with children, but the first step is to value what a child has to say. And that's where you get that children should be seen and not heard mentality, and it creates this chasm between adults and children where you really don't get what they're experiencing, how they're feeling, and when you strike, that's the the memory you're leaving in our children. So we just have to deal with that because our children have the memories of violence from the people that love them, and they're not equipped to handle things in the world well.
And you have children of your own.
I sure do.
Yeah, a child.
I have a child. My name is Patience.
Have you ever spanked Patience?
Absolutely never. Patience can honestly look at the objects on the front of my book and say, what are those? Like, she has never been hit because I feel like I'm her biggest fan, literally. And she's not baby, but I admire her so much. I would never have her have the memory of me hitting her because I need her to trust me as a parent. So you don't trust people that hit you, believe me. So my thing is to just foster growth in her and help her see guidelines and do well in the world and give her good things that make her feel good.
In fact, one of the things in the book is you assert that spanking does foster, that violence does foster other issues in the child, among them loss of trust.
Sure, definitely. So when you hit a child, you are teaching a lesson. And when they go out in the world and try to get things that they want, unless they are denied those things, they use what was used at home. They use the violence. Because instead of the violence, we could have been using negotiation skills. How do you teach a kid how to negotiate?
What do you say to those parents that says, I am not negotiating with a five-year-old?
Right. And I tell them, well, you better be ready for the result of that. Because what you're doing is you're making this child, you're not preparing them for the skill that they need to negotiate. And I'm talking about even negotiate a salary.
So what do you think the result, what's your assertion that the result will be of a parent that says, no, I'm going to spank her bottom, I'm not negotiating with her, that's the way I'm handling it. What is it you believe the parent will likely see down the road?
Down the road, you can manifest in a lot of different ways. Every child is different. But you get a child who may not express everything they want to express out of fear. They feel like they can't trust the person across from them who you want the parents to be who they trust first. But you get a child who doesn't know how to express themselves fully. And I'm not saying this is not theory. This is actuality. I had a grown man, he had to be about 6'5", talk about his fear of speaking in front of people because when he was little, the way he would get spanked, whipped, pop, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same thing, it made him go in.
He became introverted.
Yeah, now as a big grown man, he doesn't have the confidence to speak up.
Yeah, do you think that happens? Do you see some of that in school fighting? Fighting at school, they're expressing them. They're doing at school what's been done to them.
What is
the only way they need to communicate?
It's the communication they know. You know, it's really not a big thought around, oh, this is all I know, but they don't know anything else. So when you want something and you can't get it, you strike out. Or if you don't want to hear it, you strike out. It's the lesson we teach, as opposed to teaching something that is empowering or some other skill that really boosts their self-esteem. And I tell adults, if you have to hit a child to discipline them, then you need to get your skills up.
One of the other things I liked about the book is you talk to experts, you hear from experts in handling situations. You also hear people's stories about how they were spanked. And then what I found just really interesting, this list of objects of things that people have been beaten with.
Sure.
Why include that? I mean, I have to put these glasses on and read some of these things to you. Hand speed, vacuum cleaner cords, spatula, hot spatula, wire hanger, shoes, trophies, telephone, Hot Wheels tracks. Why include this list in the book?
You know, as I interviewed people for the book, they voluntarily told me the things that they were beat with. And I still get people telling me, you forgot to put the clog shoe. You forgot to put, I could do one book on just objects alone. But I wanted the chapter to be just a list because I don't have much to say about it. Because when you read that list, it is outrageous that we hit our children with those things and that we've adopted the habit of hitting the people we love with these particular objects. So I put it in there like that because I needed to really hit home. When you see trophies and a phone, can you imagine being hit with a phone or hit with a big metal trophy, things like that? We have to get that together because we're leaving marks in our children.
Now, we said before that people have questioned why you said beating black kids specifically on the topic. You're African American, so in part I can understand you're wanting to speak to your people. But is it, do you feel, a bigger issue among black people of color than others?
It's a bigger issue for black people primarily because we use it as sort of our shield. We want our kids to fear us. It's sort of like not having power in the real world, we exert power over our children. and other races don't really have that phenomenon. I don't care where they come from. They may not speak English, but they will open up a restaurant or open up a newsstand or whatever, and they have these different systems in place that build the family up. But we don't have that in place.
So when people say to you, well, I got beaten, I got spanked as a child, and I turned out okay.
Yeah, they say that, and I say, no, you didn't. And I often say, well, we're products of lynching also, and that doesn't, what does that mean? You understand, violence doesn't, it didn't create anything good in us. It left a lot of bad memories in us, and I can talk to several adults today that talk about how getting hit by their parents or aunts affected them or their inability as adults.
So you have a parental code of ethics.
Yes.
That you suggest to parenting. It's a list of things, and one of them in particular is that people need to find essentially another way of discipline, another discipline solution.
Sure.
What are some of those other ways? You said negotiate with the child.
Right. I think one of the biggest things is to be engaged. And if you don't know what the word, they don't know the word, look that up, please, because that's very important. If you're engaged with a child, like if he's playing video games all day and you have a complaint about that, my question would be, well, have you played yet? What level are you on? You know, a lot of my students will say, Ms. Kay, do you have Facebook? And I go, I have more friends than you, my dear. And it's sort of like you get in their world and you become interesting. I think one of the biggest problems is that a lot of adults are boring. And we need to kind of look back to when we were children. Were the adults interesting? No, they're just like adults. So you have to get in their world a little bit and get engaged and really get them interested in what you have to say, or else you will sound like the Charlie Brown teacher, womp, 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 you know, just boring everybody to death.
It sounds to me what you're really hoping to do here is to get people to think, but to also get them to have a conversation about this issue. You I think, have some ads in Harlem.
Right.
Essentially calling people's attention to the issue.
Definitely. There are trash cans that line Harlem in different places, and I chose to get the book publicized on those trash cans because it's 24 hours. It's unconventional. It makes people say, what is that? And I have taped people's reactions to those trash cans, and I just want it to be in the middle of the black community so they can really see it and feel it and talk about it. And I want us to go beyond talking about it, but to implement what's in the book, because that is, it's a book where things can be implemented. And I put those little keys next to every solution so that people can actually see. And it's not really like a doing this, like put them in the corner, never that. But one of the points I love on the Parental Code of Ethics is, I will only seek excellence in my child if I am excellent myself. That, to me, just says it all. Like, stop wanting things in them if you are not exemplary of those things.
That does sound like words to parents.
I love it.
That's Ada Kirkland. Thank you so much for being with us. The book is eminently readable. I did mark pages, and I am planning to send a copy of this to my mom.
I love it. Thank you. It's never too late.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. All right. There we go. Let me tell you, I love watching that because the message is so clear. Is you really get a lot of everything that the book is about. And so if you want to call in, if there's anything you want to comment on, the number, you see it on the bottom of the screen. It is 727-731-5192. Feel free to call in, chime in, and if you have any questions, please do so. So, good. You understand what the book is about. We got it out. It's literally sold all over the world. We'll deal with that a little bit later. But I really want to deal with the where does this come from, right? This is a very important piece because the hitting of our children, for an adult to feel comfortable striking a little person, like you can let your frustration get to that point, and you do that, it means that on some level you don't understand who that is, because every single child is the future. Don't make me sing that song. I believe children are the future. Don't make me sing that. So anyway, clearly they're the future. And so if you're beating and yelling and hitting, then the thinking about the future, not too sure it's in that mix, because I know what I want my daughter's future to be like, not only her personal future, but our relationship in the future. And so there needs to be a thought about that, or just contemplating how that's going to play out, because life is doing what it does, but then what role can we play in making sure that, hey, we do a good job at talking about the future. So that's an aspect of it we're going to get into. But I really want to comment on, and I want to show you some things about what this is. Now, we got a little comment. Let me put this comment up. It says, the fact that people feel powerless and therefore seek to exert power over children is the hardest thing for people to admit. The fact is, parents who hit children are bullies. Stop being a bully. It's so true. Stop being a bully to the kids. Oh, come on now. We were young, and nobody wanted to hear, go get that switch and get a big one, and you know you're going to go get the weapon of mass destruction. That's what those things are on the front of my book. Look on the front of the book. He's got an extension cord, a shoe. The hot comb, spatula. These are the weapons of mass destruction, for real, not a nuclear bomb. Those are used every day and hurt people. So thank you, Naima, for that feedback. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to share with you all, this was a presentation that I did at Old Dominion University, and I'm going to just kind of share it with you because, is it importante? Actually, this particular presentation, I didn't do at Old Dominion University. I did in L.A. at the company was called Echo Parenting Organization, right? And it dealt with sociologists and parents and all of that. And we were talking about parenting and racial trauma, right? What's that about, right? So in talking about this, I brought up, first of all, to everybody, we're not going to sit here and act like black people are the poster children for corporal punishment, because that's kind of what the vibe was, right? Not blaming, but the examples of corporal punishment, you're just going to get our people, you're going to get black people, because in this country, it's just out of control, and we act like it's something powerful. Anyway, parenting and racial trauma, designed to shed light on society's responsibility for and connecting to racism-induced parenting. What is that? What is racism-induced parenting? You know, intellectuals like to say a bunch of stuff. They always say something. I'd be like, actually, in this workshop, I told them I'm not going to use the word trauma because that's like a Band-Aid. It looks at the whole thing and goes, oh, it created trauma. Oh, you're dealing with people's evil, heinous behavior not being checked. I need us to check that behavior, right, and then look at how we internalize it. But let's just take a little look-see for a minute. Now, it says, why is violence towards children a cultural norm in America? Because it is in America that it's out of control, right? Some people say, well, they beat people in Africa. Yeah, y'all, there was colonialism in Africa, just like there was slavery, chattel slavery here in America. Now, what are the origins of this racial trauma? What exactly happened? What evolved from this? How do these past practices permeate society today, and how can the vicious cycle be lessened and eradicated, taken away? All right. So these are some of the questions that I brought to the table based on this particular topic. Let me just give you the main reason any and all of this is important, because in this country, I really feel, and I'm going to just say for black people in general, I feel like there's been a desensitizing of us and our love for our children. And I'm going to show you some things and some reasons why. When you see those things happening, you have to make a decision about how you're going to process this. And if you don't go crazy about what I'm going to show you, that means you have to do something to mentally handle the reality of what I'm getting ready to display. Okay? So they're like, what is it? All right. So good. First and foremost, let me show you these images. If you're listening, then I'm going to tell you what we're looking at. But these are images of traditional African diasporic parenting. No matter where you are in the world, when you look at ancient images of us parenting, I wish y'all could say right now what you see. If you're seeing this right now, you could put in the comments what you see in these pictures. What kind of parenting is this? The first picture shows an ancient Egyptian with a child on their lap getting ready to breastfeed them. The next picture shows a statue. This might be from Benin. It shows a statue of a mother with a baby tied to her back. The next statue shows a parent picking up the child. The child is on their hip. You know how we put the child on the hip. Then the next statue, this might not be from Africa, actually. It might be from South America. But it's a statue of the baby suckling the mama's breast. So when you look at traditional images of how we parented, you do not see adults hitting children. You just don't. It's just a reality. Go look at the cave drawings and all of that. You're not going to see that. So, see, when you look at how we communicated traditionally and we want to carry the history, we're going to build a strength. We use art, right? And so the art tells the story of the time. So I just want us to look at that real quick. These are traditional African diasporic parenting examples. We are loving our children. We are feeding our children. We are carrying our children, okay? Be clear, my people. Don't believe the hype. Now, let's look at this next slide. Now, this is black parenting today. You got the woman that was hustling out there in the riots trying to forge a movement, and she go out and she's smacking them upside the head, telling them to come back. Now, we know she's smacking them upside the head because she don't want him to get hurt and all of that. But this whole concept of I got to hurt them so that they don't get in more trouble is a pretty psychotic viewpoint. And so there are images here. You see the parent with the belt getting ready to hit the child. You see the mother spanking the child. That's how we parent today. We use violence. I like to call it the Beloved Syndrome because you remember the movie Beloved? And when Oprah saw the slave master coming down the road, she went and she grabbed those infants of hers and she took them in the shed and she cut their throats. Oh, hold on. Let me just give a moment of silence. Look. So you want to protect them from getting to the slave master, so you cut their throats. You rather kill them instead of have them experience that. Now, I do overstand, like, because what I'm going to show you is so powerfully terrible that, like I said, it'll make you crazy to see what they did to our children. So, but this comparison of black parenting today and of yesterday is important because this came from somewhere, y'all. This hitting our children came from an experience. And so we need to confront that experience and look at what the result has been, okay? Now, we got a minute before commercial, but I have a question here, and it said, what changed? I think that there was a dehumanizing of the black child where you can't love this little person because it's the potential of them being killed and taken from you is too great, too grave and too great. Confusion was caused by slavery and that whole experience of colonialism. And then violence as protection, like I said, the Beloved Syndrome, using violence to protect a young person. No, that's not how that works. That's not how you get a good product. If I don't beat him, the police going to get him. Why don't y'all go talk to the people in jail and find out if they've been hit before? Yes, they have. They will tell you that over and over and over again, okay? So I think what changed and what made us start acting different was the fact that we had an experience that shifted how we loved originally our children, okay? So we're going to take a commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to get into this a little more and then break it on down and show the solution. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Kids today need to be beat. What else am I supposed to be so bad? Ooh, she gets on my lab and I rush up before I give you something to cry about. It was important that I write the book, Feeding Black Kids.
It's almost fashion. I believe, you know, you just can't let a child do anything.
I think it's okay. I'll abuse them.
It's needed at some point.
So what I saw was a collection of adults who were talking about a topic they had never really talked about before. And out came, my mom used to hit me with a spatula. My dad used to hit me with a belt. They used to make me get wet first. They used to put my face in a pillow and then spank me. Like, all of these different stories about how we have gotten beaten over time and while there was a lot of laughter when those stories were being told, I could clearly see that there's a fine line between laughing and crying, and I knew that it was time for me to write a book about handling the situation. And so it's very obvious that this came from being a slave, from a slavery experience, and that whole spare the rod for the child. The shepherd did not beat the sheep with the rod. He guided them with the rod. And so it is just obvious that that came from a slavery experience, and we have to know how to differentiate those things and then just use some discernment in terms of doing what's best for our children and not breaking their spirit. With regards to how we discipline our children, first of all, I always tell people that discipline, if you look at the etymology of the word, it comes from disciplina, which is the Latin root meaning teach. And so when you discipline a child, you are teaching them. But when you use corporal punishment, you hit our children, you're not teaching them anything. They're actually not going to do it again out of fear. They're not doing it out of reason. The frustration that we feel from being powerless in a society, all of the things that come along with that, those issues are not to be taken out on our children when we get home. The definition of domestic violence says bringing harm to someone in your home or hurting someone in your home. So I want us to look at how we beat our offspring and how that's not giving them anything good. It's making them, quote-unquote, obedient. But that's what you make a dog. That's what you make an animal. But when you're dealing with someone of higher intelligence, use their intelligence and start to talk to them in ways that give them power, make them feel supported, listen to their ideas, and it'll just be an easier parenting role for you. There's a part of the brain called the regulatory part of the brain. That's the part of the brain that helps you make decisions in times of adversity. Well, if they have that toxic stress before they eat before, that part of the brain does not develop. And so you're looking at a community full of people with no regulatory equipment. So we need to be bringing a different generation of people up with a different consciousness. Make sure that the kids feel good and alive while they're living. Don't be upset after they die and after there's all these senseless killings. Let's treat them well while they're living, and then we'll see a different impact. The adults want to be upset, but you taught the children the violence when they were young, and it's the tools they have. I feel like, you know, hitting children is such a skill list. We need to foster behavior that builds them up, and that just changes the way, like, we talk to each other, talk to discipline, because discipline, we're using it a lot to describe hitting children, and this is not directly to you, LaShawn, but it's to just all of us, because I've heard it in its first language, and discipline, a book is sold in Switzerland, Germany, Tasmania, Nigeria, Sudan, Canada, all over the world. And so people all over the world are telling me, as far as Germany, that my book is making a difference in the lives of the people that other people touch, but also in the lives of many parents and families who now no longer feed their children because they read my book. A lot of people ask me if I'm going to write another book, and I'm not ready to write another book, but what I will say is that there is a high demand for the book in Spanish and in French. My book is not punitive. My book is not accusatory. But there are solutions replete throughout the whole book. It really is just about being engaged with your child. They're not going
going to become respectful and trustworthy through you telling them and demanding it. They're going to become that way from observing you and then emulating what they see. And so in my parental code of ethics that I wrote, one of my favorite lines is, I will only seek excellence in my child if I am excellent myself. And so that's what I say is the number one key to make sure you have great children is checking yourself.
Hi, I'm Naimalee, and if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection. Somebody can connect you to an audience. And that's what I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, duty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care service, whatever you're selling, they need to buy it. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow, sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
All right, there we have it. So, yep, you got a little bit more on that book and its impact, what it deals with. I just got to tell you something about Spare the Rod, Spoil the Child real quick before I go back to that slide presentation. I know I'm going to reveal to you the heinous behavior towards our children and why I feel like we don't really show our love the way we can. But look, Spare the Rod, Spoil the Child. In the video, the man said, God said, Spare the Rod, Spoil the Child. I'm going to raise my hand. Excuse me. God did not say that, nor did Jesus. Solomon said that in Proverbs. I don't know Solomon. I don't know his mother. I don't know what he's talking about. Look, spare the rod, spoil the child, like I said in the video. If you're talking about the rod, like the shepherd's rod, he did not beat the sheep with the rod. It was used to guide the sheep and keep them in a group and keep them from harm, like just by guiding them, you know, like making sure they don't go a certain way. That's what we're talking about. We ain't talking about no rod, spare the rod, like hitting with the rod. That's a slavery reference. That's a trickster changing of the words. So don't be fooled, please. God didn't say that. Thank you very much. That was a PSA. So anyway, let's go back to this, what changed, right? So we talked about the dehumanizing of children, of black children, right, and the confusion that slavery created, and this idea of protecting children with violence. No, we're not going to do it. So I want y'all to look at these pictures real quick. If you're not looking at this and you're listening, this image is of an alligator and something is sticking out of his mouth. It's like a ceramic piece. Like, what is somebody took time to make this, okay? Something sticking out of his mouth. What is that exactly? The next picture shows a little black baby on the grass, and it says little African licorice drops. And there's an alligator coming out the water behind this little black baby with these bucking eyes. Okay, what is this? What is this with these black babies and alligators? Then we got a pencil holder here. The pencil holder is an alligator, but what's sticking out of his mouth is a pencil. But the top of the pencil is the top of a black person. Wait a minute. What? Okay. What is this picture? Okay, this picture shows the slave master comes to the slaves. They're holding a baby, and then he takes the baby and puts it out in the marsh. Why? Because people, they used to use black babies as bait to get alligators so that they can sell the alligator skin, shoes, and whatever. So they didn't use worms and chickens, and they used black babies, okay? And so if you were a parent and you saw them coming for your baby, you know, if you're a parent, you know how it is, how you feel about your children. Imagine somebody coming for your child, and they're getting ready to take them to feed to alligators. This next image shows another ceramic piece of a black baby. He's actually holding the alligator's mouth open so he could get in it. Okay? And then we have another picture showing three black babies sitting on the marsh, and the alligators coming up out the water to get his food, which are our children, okay? It's why they used to call Jackie Robinson, when he got on the baseball field, they used to call him Gator Bait. They used to be screaming out Gator Bait in Florida because that's what black children were used for. And this picture shows two alligators both going to chomp on our children. They made the child look like a monkey, but they're basically going to chomp on a black child, okay? So another picture. And so I just need y'all to understand, these are drawings and ceramics of this. I don't know how long this went on, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You're talking about generations and generations and generations of this reality of people seeing their children eaten by alligators or being taken. So I'm going to tell you, either you're going to go cuckoo, you're going to go crazy because they're coming to get your children, or you're going to start treating children as less than, like animals. Now, if you go get them little old books we used to read, like they were called golden books or something, there's always the dehumanizing of the black child. They do not show black children playing with other children. They show them playing with animals. This is a picture of a young child getting confronted by a rooster, like they're getting ready to peck her, right? Then you got another black child in the little coop with a hen talking to the animals, right? You got a bear picking up a black girl here. Like, it's always this depiction of our children playing with wild animals, right? Tigers, bears, always. Here's one, little black Sambo, and he's playing with a tiger, and the tiger's, you know, come on, y'all, would you play with a tiger? No. And so this perception, let me go back a little bit, this perception of our children playing with animals, less than human, I really feel that over time, we started to treat them like that. Not with the love, because if you love your child and then they're taken from you, it's going to create havoc in your spirit. So in order to make, like, not have the connection, you get the, get out of here. I don't feel like being bothered with you. Shut your mouth. Like this bad treatment of our children. And so that's something that we have to really confront, because it does create something. And this kind of goes into the next phase of what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the effects of hitting our children. And I also want to read the word abuse, because in this show was called Spanking versus Abuse. Are they the same, right? And we're going to get into the scientific explanation for that. But I do want to read the definition of abuse, because people be trying to act like their spanking is not abuse. And it is. So let me tell you what abuse says. It says to use wrongly or improperly, misuse, to treat in a harmful, injurious, or offensive way, to speak insultingly, harshly, and unjustly to or about, to malign, to commit sexual assault upon one. Now, check it out, y'all. Come on now. Look, all of what I just said is what is happening to a black child when we hit them and when we yell at them, harsh treatment. So you want to act like it's not abuse, but even by definition of abuse, that's what we're creating. Now, how does that affect us? a lot of people say, even in the video just now, the lady said, I got spanked and I turned out okay. And so people always say to me, well, I got spanked and I turned out fine. And so I made up an acronym for that. And that acronym is failing indefinitely, never emerging. That's what turning out fine is. Failing indefinitely, never emerging, my people. Okay? You know we are not where we need to be as a people, but that's because we're only turning out fine. And like I said in one of the other videos, is that what we're aiming for? Fine? Like average? No, don't aim for that. We should be, I usually say, oh, is that what we're aiming for? We should be turning out excellent. And so the person goes, no, that's what I mean. I turned out excellent. And I say, that's not what you said. You said fine. But anyway, turning out fine, y'all, is not acceptable. It's failing indefinitely, never emerging, okay? So getting parents to change, we're going to deal with this a little later, but we're going to get into help parents find aspects to admire in children, okay? Make a list, if you can, of what you admire about your child. Have your child recall have the parent, rather, recall what was done to them and how it felt. Just think about how it affected you. What did you feel when you were getting hit, right? And then I say work with parents so that they can develop legacies for the family. So we're going to get into that a little later. But now I just want to get into another presentation that I did a while ago. And this was done at Old Dominion University, right? And fortunately, they brought me there about 10 times, not 10 times. Old Dominion University. And I did this presentation. It talks about the effects of corporal punishment. And it gets into the, it says neurophysiology. Because the reality, guys, is that when we're hitting our children, we're actually creating brain development issues. All right? You could look at our community and tell something's not right. Because this is the community where people kill each other. This is the community where people urinate in their elevators. This is the community where we see a lot of, we inflict pain on each other, whether it be verbal, domestic violence, whatever. And again, it's not to say that other people don't do it, but I'm not talking about them right now. I'm talking about beating black kids. I'm talking about the effects of that, okay? And so I just want us to look at what we're doing. And so it says, we see marks, we see crying, but what's happening underneath the skin, okay? Because you could hit with the belt and you left some welts or whatever, but there's some other things that are occurring that we need to connect with. Now, there are three types of stress, and there's nobody on here that likes to be stressed. I'm just saying, period. Stress can create a lot of illnesses. I had a stroke dealing with that stress in New York. Lord have mercy. But anyway, there's three types of stress that we need to be aware of. There's positive stress. This came from a publication called Zero to Three that talks about what's happening in a person's life in those years. So three types of stress, positive stress, tolerable stress, and toxic stress, okay? So what are those? What are those? So when you're talking about positive stress, you're dealing with, it says here, the response refers to a physiological state that is brief and mild to moderate in magnitude, all right? It's buffered by the presence of a caring, responsive adult, and it says adaptive responses to adversity. So we're talking about a baby, not a baby per se, but let's say a child falls and they start crying and the mother comes to talk to them and console them or something, or they fall off a bike, and, you know, so there's a stress that is created from this type of pain. So, all right, so positive stress. Now, the next level of stress, let's see, tolerable stress. What's that about? So it says this response is associated with exposure to a potentially damaging event, all right? Harmful effects of a serious injury, disaster, or death, buffered by supportive presence of an adult. So, again, it's a little more intense in terms of what's creating that stress. Sometimes it can even be emotional, but you still sort of have a support system, right? All right, cool. Now, next, it says, hold on, let me get that toxic stress. Did I not get toxic? Let me see. I'm going to get it. We're going to see it in a minute. But anyway, let's just go on to what's happening when you spank. Because when you spank, y'all, you're creating what's called toxic, and toxic stress makes it so that cortisol is created in the mind, in the brain, and extreme fear. And when a person experiences toxic stress, the regulatory part of the brain does not develop, okay? That's important because that's the part of the brain that makes decisions when things are going wrong, okay? So here's that toxic stress. Strong, frequent, or prolonged activation of the body's stress response systems in the absence of the buffering protection of a supportive adult relationship. So this is when the stress is coming, but there is no support, all right? And so when toxic stress is in the mix, right? Let me ask this question. Which one of these types of stress sounds like what a child would experience when they're getting hit? Which one, right? Period. It's toxic stress, okay? And so let me tell you what they say elevated levels of stress in the body create. So it says epigenetic. Let me say this, okay? That means that the process by which the expression of genetic information is modified on a molecular level. So we're talking about on a molecular level, people changing. It says it causes a dysfunction of protein synthesis and other biochemical outcomes. It messes up the expression, all right? And so DNA-wise, molecular structure starts to change, okay? Now, what does regulate mean? Regulate means to put in good order, all right? To put in good order. And it says to adjust so as to ensure accurate operation. So that's what it means when your mind can regulate something. But the regulatory part of the brain gets impacted when you have toxic stress in children, all right? So spanking can interfere with proper development of the brain's regulatory equipment. Children are most frequently spanked around 3 years old. Ironically, this is the most vulnerable period of development for a child. And so, see, my thing is this. We're affecting our children's brain development, and that has to cease, because if not, we're going to continue to see struggling in our children, all right? And so what I want to do is just share another video that gives you a little bit of sense of the direction we should be going in. So hold on, let me get that. And let me give you this, a little bit of love. Hold on 1 second. Well, let me go for the parents. Let's watch this.
I've heard a lot about things that are being done with legislation and making sure that states and countries ban corporal punishment and things of that nature. But if you do not go and talk to their mother or the father about their innate views and their innate feelings about children, you can pass all the laws you want, but you're not changing the fiber of society. The laws will be changed overnight if you have a rally of parents to back it. But the reason we don't have a rally of parents to back it is because they still have these deep-seated feelings of resentment towards kids or whatever they were raised with. I was beaten and it made me turn out better. They have that belief. So that's what has to be attacked. That's what has to be handled, is the fact that they actually believe that they deserve the beatings and that they're going to give more beatings because it made them better. My approach is to attack the pain, not in a way that's like evaluated. Let's look at that. I don't care about that. Nobody wants to feel like that, like they're being researched. I'm talking about, did it work for you? When I do my workshops, I have people actually look at their first exposure to violence, and I have them draw what their first exposure to violence is, and you'd be very surprised what they come up with. And when they look at it themselves, see, they blocked it out for so many years, they can return to it and see it, they don't like it. And so then I have them address, well, what would have been better? And then they conjure up the better things. And after that, they go, oh. And they don't want to do those things anymore. One lady said to me in a workshop, thank you for letting us tell our story, because no one ever asked us. That was, like, amazing. She's a parent. Nobody ever asked. They just want to condemn the parents for what they're doing. But you're not asking them the questions that will help you see why they're doing it. Like, you want an answer, but you're not really asking the questions to get the answer. You're just condemning people for their actions. But when you really listen to these people, you know why they do it, and then you know how to fix it. Just that.
All right. So, yo, this issue is so impactful, and it does mess people up. You can even look in the comments. This topic makes people angry. You hear me? Oh, I have gotten so many people just be so angry about whatever. And sometimes the anger is because they do this. And hold on, let me put this, make sure I'm putting my cell phone. Sometimes the anger that you see comes from the fact that they do this to children, and so they don't want to feel incriminated, like somebody's incriminating them, and it's not really about that. People do what was done to them, and that's what we're really looking at, which I'm going to show you in a bit. But just so we can continue and just finish up what happens just neurologically, the permanent effects, being able to regulate stress responses. We're not good with that. You can see it in our community. We don't handle stress well. Making healthy adaptations to future adversity. So when hardship comes in the future, we don't have what it takes in terms of the regulatory equipment to make good decisions. I love to use this experience, this story about my daughter. She was like 7 years old, something like that, about 7 years old, and she was telling one of her after-school teachers or summer camp teachers what she was going to get when she went to my mom's house for the summer. She said, I'm going to have a room with – my room is going to have a TV and a microwave and all these – so I can make popcorn. And so the teacher said, oh, you're spoiled. And my daughter said, oh, no, I'm not spoiled. I'm highly loved. There's a difference. Yes. Yes, at 7 years old. I'm highly loved. There's a difference. That's regulatory equipment. You don't get cowed and, oh, my God, she said I'm going to be spoiled. And you know, you go inward. She was able to stand and hold her position in space and time, right? And by doing so, she just let her know, no, I'm not spoiled. I'm highly loved. In the book, I talk about that. Being spoiled means to be rotten or putrid, and my child could never be that. Never. So, no, highly loved is the thing. Aggression in children is a sign of increased brain dysregulation. And so fighting in school, bullying, using violence instead of reasoning, being rebellious towards your parents, these are all signs of not having good regulatory equipment in the brain, okay? Now, here's a doozy, spanking, lowering an IQ of a person. IQ is diminished in children who are spanked, and this is a worldwide phenomenon. When we can effectively express ourselves with words, it builds healthy neural networks in the brain. When we barrage the children's brain with anxiety and anger and pain, the child's brain cannot properly develop. And so we do have a link there that people can look at, take a screenshot, and you can find this data, or probably just Google it at this point. Now, disruption happens of the architecture of the brain with spanking. And so there's a plasticity of the fetal infant and early childhood where the brain makes, and it's very sensitive to toxic stress. But then there's also a disruption of the developing brain when there's an alteration of cognitive and behavioral function. Okay, that sounds all scientific, whatever. But we're just talking about the brain's ability level diminishing as we keep creating this stress in our children. I could tell adults that have had that by the way that they act. There's a lot of twitching, sometimes they're stuttering, all of the above. So definitely we need to make a different decision. Now, the process of brain development sets a trajectory person's life, okay, when you look at the tools they do or don't have going forward. And so school readiness, later academic achievement, development of a skilled adult in the workplace, all of this is shaped by the experience they have with stress and getting hit by us. And that's why we really need to make a different decision when spanking our children, okay? And that's why it gets identified as abuse. Just real basic. It gets identified like that because of what it's creating. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll get a little bit more into content we have in people and their views about utilizing corporal punishment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, Asada's here. Now, I just had to show that little video because children are not going to listen to you. They're going to observe you. For those who weren't able to see that commercial, the children were doing exactly what the parents were doing. If they were yelling at a person and putting up their middle finger, the young person was in the back doing the same thing. If they were smoking a cigarette and throwing it on the ground, the child was doing the same thing. And so when you talk about the effects of all of this treatment, they're observing, guys. They're observing what we do. And that is why I have a chapter called You Got Chosen, and it talks about why we were chosen, right? But then I also have a chapter called You Got Talk, and it talks about a better way to work with them. So I'll read that a little bit later. But this whole doing what we do and not listening to what we're saying is a very important piece, because that's the reality, you know, that we're in. And so what I want to do is let me make sure I don't have any other of those points that I want to make to you guys. I think we're good with that. And I really want to deal with solutions at this point. I want to deal with the solutions to creating a better life, all right? And I'm going to put the phone number up here if you want to call in. Actually, I think I have a caller. It looks like I have who this? Baba Kwame, Sunhorse, how are you? Are you on the line? We're here with Gathering of the Griots. How are you today? Hold on, I think the brother Baba Kwame is on the line. If not, we'll move on. And y'all let me know.
Hear me.
Back.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. There you go. How are you, brother?
I'm very grateful, Sister Asada. And, you know, excellent show. I was trying to see how to see you on line, but they told me that I had to be on Facebook and I don't do social media, so I just do it the old-fashioned way, by phone.
Absolutely. You can go on YouTube, too, if you go on YouTube, you know.
Yeah, but I'm searching. But what I'm feeling, and, you know, you're making excellent points in what happens to the child when it comes up on the earth, when it's birthed on the earth. Because, you know, in Proverbs 20:11, it says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure or right. Because when we grew up, we were not asked, what's your name? Who are your parents? Because it's in the making of you. It's the making of you. And this is where you talked about the epigenetics. These are markers that are passed down from generation to generation, because when that child is developing, the eggs and the sperm is already there in that development of that fetus by the next generation that's going to come from that child once it hits the earth and reaches age of maturity. The thing in which we do is that when that woman conceives, and the African always looked at it and said that when a woman conceives, it's the most purest time, and you're supposed to do the things that keeps her heart happy. Because if you don't keep her heart happy, that damages the child when it comes onto the earth. So it comes out traumatized. This is why I remember, I think when back in the day, women cried a lot, or you were in an abusive relationship. Guess what? That child came out, and what did it do? Just like you just said, emulation from the inside, it started, not outside. It started emulating inside. And so what we're now looking at is, how do we correct these things? And the first part is starting with the girls, because they say your birthday is not on the day that your mother birthed you. Your birthday is on the day that the girl has the thought of a baby. That becomes you. And in how she is guided to correctly use that thought, and what is going to be the part of what develops in her, and that would come forth from her. So we're having some powerful looking at and corporal punishment, but that has to go deeper. We have to go into the cellular level now. And it's very important that we have these, like you said, solutions. and the part of being a book and bringing out our knowledge. Book stands for bringing out our knowledge, B-O-O-K.
Nice, nice.
And so how do we bring out our knowledge?
I might have to steal that.
It's not a theft. It's passed on because words are power. And how we use our words, and the part of it is we have to wordsmith. We have to take the epistemicide. You know the word epistemicide. And it's very important because this is what has happened in taking away those knowledges and ways of life that we had as a people and giving us something that is not our own. That's genocide.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I thank you for this show, and I thank you for bringing forth because you know what a LIS is, right? The list, a library, librarian information science. That's what you're doing with books. A librarian knows all the books in the library. And so it's a science of information. And that's what the librarian does.
Yes.
You are bringing the science to the community and saying, what books do we need to be able to go in and find the information to bring us forward?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sister.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for being in tune, not only tuned in, but being in tune and understanding the importance of the topic. And if we just support each other, we're gonna win. This viewpoint will win. It will help people be better. That's all. We need a better training because we like to emulate. That's all we know. Like I said in one of the videos, we'll emulate the adults before us, but we don't have to if it was harmful to us. And so I thank you for being another person in the mix to make sure that we do it right. Thank you. All right, y'all. Oh, yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Now, y'all, we're dealing with the solutions, and I got some good stuff coming up, but I got my girl on. Oh, let me tell you something. So we're on the female solution. Gathering of the Griots is part of the female solution. You hear the word solution. That's what we're going to start dealing with. But when this sister deals with this topic, yo, when you meet Naima Latif, you'll know she's like a very nice, mild-mannered sister. She'd be like, yes, peace. That's what she'd say, like, peace, yes, right? Yo, when she talk about this topic, I'd be seeing a different person emerge. And I'm, look, that girl be getting for real with your butt. She not playing with you. So I'm going to bring her on screen because she's another passionate person in the mix with us about this topic. Matter of fact, she brought me on this show. It was her show, The Female Solution, as an author back when I first got here in 2014, I think, and really was supportive of the message. So thank you, Sister Naima. What's up? Welcome, welcome. Girl, so much to say.
You're right. It's like in my blood boiling. Our children.
Right.
Now, I'm really grateful that you have used some words. I know they're trigger words, calling it psychotic. It is. It's psychotic. But we got to address our psychosis as a human family because unless we admit that there's something that happened inside of us that makes us act with such violence toward our children, we can't fix it. Now, we're excited because we're about to launch a class online called Parenting with Peace. And we interviewed and included in that class a 12-lesson course on parenting, taking you from before conception all the way to the child's adulthood. And then we interviewed some conscious mothers on ways to parent, ways to prepare themselves, ways to respond to children. And we gotta schedule your interview because you're gonna be part of that class, that parenting class. Because we have to teach them should use when it comes to guiding children. Like you said, we don't have the tools. We don't have the know-how. All we know is what was done to us, which was speaking. And it's based on an entirely wrong concept about who we are and who the child is.
Mm-hmm.
We are expressions of the divine, the creator of the universe. And we know this as a soul when we come into this world. That's why being what our soul is speaking with is love. And, you know, if people say, well, I love the child, therefore I beat them, which is not that the beloved God, that's my child, so I'm going to kill them.
Right.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
And if we can reverse some of the misconceptions that we have, first about ourselves and our purpose for being, then we can guide the divine beings coming through us to become the best expressions of themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the things that I know is going to be a trigger for people, but in the 12 lessons, and in this book, working on a book of the past few years, which will be like a classroom text for the class Parenting with Peace, and the book is called Spare the Rod, Love the Child. And I looked up online, so I said, I think I've heard that name before. So I looked up online, you know, you call somebody, first you got to make sure that somebody else is it. Well, there's a song, and I guess the artist was inspired to call his song Spare the Rod, Love the Child.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm full subject.
Sure.
For the book, to distinguish it. But also, you know, when the creator wants an idea to be put out there, it's put into the atmosphere. Who's ever in tune will pick it up and express it. So that's why you may have different people expressing the same idea, because we're in tune with the divine mind.
Absolutely.
That idea comes forth.
Yes, thank you so much for that, because some of y'all, depending on what you've experienced in life and what you're experiencing, some of the stuff we're saying, you can't even have it yet. I did a workshop once, and it was a multilingual workshop, but I passed out 101 positive things you could say to your child. And one of the parents, while reading it, started crying. And the reason she started crying is she was like, I don't know how to say this to my child. She said, because this was never said to me ever. I don't know how to say this. And so it's easier said for those of us that don't beat our children. It's just a natural thing. But I do understand that for some of us out there, yo, it's a challenge, because if you never saw love, how could you give it? You know? My grandmother had, and this is to what Baba said, my grandmother had 6 children by the time she was 21.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, not only that, my grandfather used to abuse her. He used to use domestic violence on my grandmother, used to assault her. And I'm telling you right now, first 3 children were pretty decent, my mama included. The last 3 children that experienced him beating her while she was pregnant, one is autistic. The other one lived a life in the streets and got shot in the head before he even got 30. And the other one, my favorite uncle, he was just always on drugs in the street. Awesome person. But the last 3 that were part of my grandmother's pregnancy, when she got beat, they came out with problems. Their regulatory equipment was gone before they even came out the womb. You know, like the brother said, it's happening in the womb. And so you can imagine, so that it's no different, y'all. If a man is beating his wife or beating his girlfriend, it's called domestic violence. You saw the definition for domestic violence was bringing harm to a person in the home. So if you are beating your children, yes, you are committing domestic violence. It's just real basic, you know.
Yeah.
And so you just have to take a think about whether you really want that, your life and their life, if you want it to be happening, because I'm sure you don't, you know. And so there are better things to do. I want to just share some viewpoints for a minute, and we're going to just share, you know, it's so funny. I came out, the book came out in 2009, and in 2010 I came to Chicago to the African Fest. And at that African Fest, I was interviewing people, and I know these young people, some of them are older and stuff, but I think it's so important to hear the viewpoint of some of these people, especially the children. So let's just take a look. I'm going to go share this real quick. Let me see. Oh, yeah, let's see this little mama here. All right.
Until you heal from that and redefine yourself as the divine experience.
trying to make yourself feel better, lift your low self-esteem, you're seeking love from somebody who doesn't really love you, well, that's the first problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think if you get pregnant, then they're going to love you, and then they don't, and so you're devastated, so you're angry at the child because the child didn't make them love you. Cycle that we get into, which causes us to express anger at our children.
Yeah.
It has to be addressed, and we have to face it, not to condemn ourselves, but to realize it's something that must be healed. It's a wound that has to heal so that we don't keep transmitting it and keep repeating it. And I get into so many, and you probably do too, so many conversations with people that say, look at these children, they say, that's the problem, they just spank it out of school. That's the problem. You get more pain, you need more system support, more corporal punishment. I have more old people trying to justify the psychotic behavior of beating children because that's what was done to them, and they say, I turned out fine. No, didn't. That's why you're tail in your home right now.
Oh, yeah.
You and your spouse, your domestic partner, whatever the case is, at each other's throats. You have so much low self-esteem that you can't be loving and giving and supportive of another person because you don't like yourself. And that's what it's about.
Look, didn't I tell y'all? I told you, that lady that be like, hi, peace, when she get on this topic, it's a wrap when she get on this topic. She be like, what? But I want to show another video of another person who actually stole something that you just said, and she talks about us passing this on and having to change that, and I thought that this was a very good viewpoint. It's so funny. I found so many great things to show you guys, so hold on, and let's take a look. Oh, stop, y'all. Stop YouTube. I love it. I love it. Just, you know, I was looking at those, and I'm like, yo, I'm in New York, so you know. I'm like, what? That's so long ago. But people are echoing the same concern, the same realization of, yo, I got to change. I got to tell my children I love them. I'm telling you right now, my mom always says, my grandmother never told her she loved her. But she knows that my grandmother loved her. There were ways that she would say, you know, you're such a good girl, or, you know, just these things, but never the I love you, you know. And I hearing that, my mom always told me she loved me all the time, and I tell my daughter all the time, you know. But the thing about it is when the child is growing up and they're hearing endearing words, then you get sort of a calm in them, you know, a calm in them because they're used to people giving them words of endearment, and don't have to be a dude. The first time you hear somebody say they love you is from a dude. No, it's from your family, and I think that's important. Now, I see a sister on the screen. Wait a minute. My friend Monlade is on in the mix. Let me see if I can bring her on and take herself off mute. Hello, mama. What's up?
Hello, can you hear me well?
I can hear you. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I wanted to chime in out of the respect and the interest of the topic.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing me to, you know, share.
Yes.
And to listen and to be like, and give me reminders of, yes,
Because let me tell y'all something. Not only when I see her on the party scene do I go, I do that all the time. That's what we do.
You're up and ready. I feel like,
right. But what I love about her, when you see her daughters, baby, oh, God, her daughters and her granddaughter and her mama, like you really see generations of women, and they always look happy, period. Everybody always looks happy. They not looking. I can tell she's not taking a cane and hitting them. And so just tell us a little bit about your viewpoint and your style of mothering. And yeah.
Truly not a front, you know, that happiness is shown inside and out. You know, hey, look, I came from a time in which, you know, yeah, bear the rod, pull the child. I'm 51,
mm-hmm.
so I couldn't help but to come from that time. My mom, she had us at a young age, four children, starting at the age of 16 years of age, and her last child was at the age of 21.
Mm-hmm.
So she came from that era,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she wasn't really in tune with herself, of course, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, she practiced that faith. Although, at the same time, she shown us love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she took care of us well. But look, we used to have to pick a switch sometimes
for her
discipline. She felt like that was the way,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once she became more, you know, in tune with herself, she decided to go back to school. Maybe it's like mid-20s. She decided to, you know, be more cultured within herself. And I guess she was going through her healing state of mind, you know, during that time. Her state of her communication with her children totally changed.
Mm-hmm.
She taught us to love each other. She taught us to respect each other. She just took it from the roots, respect your elders, like, you know, from the command.
Yeah.
You know thy neighbor. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And be in tune with loving each other. Do not be envious of each other.
Mm-hmm.
She cultured us. She took us to different, like, restaurants. This is how she's shown her love.
Okay.
You know, like ethnic restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
She took us to museums. She made us aware of beautiful, beautiful music. She raised us on love, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that bear the rod for the child left the window.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I came from the schools. If you didn't know your alphabet, you get the spanking.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So that was my mindset for a minute. But when I had my children, you know, I was 20 when I had my first.
Mm-hmm.
But I had her out of, it wasn't planned, but I had her out of love.
Mm-hmm.
So when my children came, I stated and claimed to myself that my children will be raised from love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to have fun with my girls.
Yes.
They're going to know what love is. They're going to know what God brought us to this earth for. And that was based on pure love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, appreciative of all of what is offered in love in this world.
Yes.
So I made it my point. Look, we're going to have fun. We're going to travel together. Hey, look, y'all 1 year old. Y'all going to Jamaica with me. I don't care.
Say that.
You're going to be stairs with me. You're going to be, you know, cultured. You're going to be refined. This is how I'm going to discipline you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do wrong and if you go outside of what you're supposed to do, I'm going to talk with you. I'm not going to talk at you. I'm not going to dictate you.
Nice.
I'm going to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to communicate with you like you're a human being.
Yes.
You know, a human being in love. That's how I'm going to raise my, and that's how my mom eventually raised us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just on pure, just walking and talking with your loved ones, showing them what morals and values are in that form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could not, you know, be that dictator type of, you know, of course, guide them and all of that and show them what's right in this world. But you show them in such a way and pure, you know, at the end of the day, it's so simple love.
Yes, absolutely. It's so evident. And it's evident in even how your young ladies turned out. Them, your first child having her daughter now. That's the queen right there. You want to say princess, but she a queen. I don't care what nobody says.
That girl.
Yeah, she cold. But, you know, she's coming up around all of these confident, happy black women. Be a confident, happy black woman. You hear me? like all that sadness and hardship, I don't agree with it, but it stems from something. It stems from an uneasiness and an unhappiness in your home. I don't care what nobody say. If you witnessed it in your mama and there was a weakness on any level or whatever, it just manifests into your work because you don't necessarily have the tools to show love. But when you do, you're an example of that, then the people that come behind you know how to demonstrate love and demonstrate admiration. Because you could tell that you admire your daughters. You can tell that. You could tell by their self-esteem. I could see that. Even one's a painter. They just always look together. They don't. Yeah. They don't never not look together.
Yeah, there's no front in it.
Yeah, ain't no front in the flyness.
Sometimes I have to pinch myself and thank God for, you know, because a lot of people don't have that and it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I thank God for placing me in a position to be in such a loving, like even my brothers and sisters, we're so close. We're, mm-hmm. you know, right now I'm 51. My brothers, we're close. My brother's 52. My mm-hmm. sister's 49.
Gotcha.
My younger brother's 40. We are the closest ever.
Yes.
You know, we don't have any beef. If someone comes into our family trying to cause that chaos because of their chaos, we exit out.
Exit out.
In this family. We came too far. You know,
yes.
We have to go through our healing stages.
Yes.
We came too far to get to this point. Let's keep this going. You know, let's keep this going. We will not allow anything to offset our love and happiness, and I pray for it to continue every day. And don't take it for granted.
Don't take it for granted.
Because it can change at any moment. Don't take it for granted. And all you have to do is speak. You know, that, mm-hmm. that word, that saying, speak and ye shall find. If you're
yep.
not in the place where you want to be, and if you're so used to being in a traumatized state,
mm-hmm.
you have to sit still and say, I'm seeking now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just say it. Please help me, somebody.
Mm.
So speak those words. Once you speak that word, it'll come to light. It'll take some time, but take time with yourself. Be patient with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient with your children. Be patient with anything that comes after you in love.
Mm. Uh-oh. Hercules. That's what I'm talking about. Mama, thank you so much for coming on. And
thank
for
you.
Sharing your wisdom. Your daughters, when they hear this, they're going to be like, Mommy, Mommy, I love you, Mommy. But, yeah, thank you so much for coming on, because I think it's important to show that there are strong, happy black women out there and that all we have to do is follow each other, share with each other. So, thank you, baby.
Love you, Asada. I have to go to work now.
Go to work. Okay.
What is your name? Naima?
Yes.
I love what you stated. Thank you for that. Thank you for my 10 minutes of glory.
No doubt.
Okay,
peace. So I want to show another video of some parental wisdom that I feel is important. Like I said, I was coming across so much yesterday. And, yeah, I just feel like we need to hear what is being said. So let's take a look.
We were beaten of everything, but it doesn't have to be. Some of us can say, oh, you know, we turned out okay, but some of us, we are very scarred, and that scarring lasts a lifetime, and it beats down on our character, and it beats down our self-esteem, and it's everything for our children that we need to raise up.
There it is. Just stop hitting your children, you know. So basic, finding those videos, you know, Beating Black Kids has a YouTube channel. Also, if you all want to get the book, I'm going to put the website up there. It's beatingblackkids.com. Definitely, and they all come signed. So, yeah, beatingblackkids.com. There's a ton of things on there. I believe there's even the full parental code of ethics up there because it's like a 12-point system. And I always talk about my favorite line, but the whole thing is really strong. And if I would have thought about it, I would have had it up here, but that's okay. But, yeah, beatingblackkids.com. Yeah, that's right, beatingblackkids.com. you'll be able to see the parental code of ethics and to start to employ solutions, because that's one of the things I want, is for us to look at solutions. Now, one of the things I want to show, this is a little longer clip, but it's teenagers speaking. And I want us to hear how they are processing what we're doing, okay, and then what we're missing. And that was important, so I'm going to definitely play that. We went past the commercial break. Too bad. We got to keep going. We got That's okay. We have to keep moving. All right. But let me show these young sisters, because when I saw this, it just gave a chance to hear what young people are thinking while we swinging. All right. So let's take a look at the babies. Come on, y'all. Say what you're going to say.
Thank you. okay, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it is. And, like, if I say something like, this is how it's supposed to be, like, no, this is how it's supposed to be. And if I try to argue with her, it's like, are you arguing with your mother? Like, but I'm trying to argue my point, so it's wrong to argue my point, but it's okay if I argue my point.
All right, there we have it. Look, were they venting or what? Them girls was venting. They almost, it's so funny because, one, I remember shooting that, but I don't know what I was shooting on. I might have had a flip phone. I don't even know. You could just tell the quality, you know, but it was 2009 or 2010. But I want to put this comment up here. Sister Joy said, I agree, our children need to be respected and given it, particularly when they give it. Yep. They always are told to give respect, but we don't give respect to them.
Right. And Dr. Shaw, what does respect look like? How are you going to tell somebody to be respectful and you're screaming at them, calling them names, telling them to shut up? Do you want them to be respectful?
Yeah.
You have to demonstrate what respect looks like and what it feels like.
Right.
Somebody will feel awful because we're talking down to them or telling them to shut up, or we don't want to hear it and all of that, or like not acknowledging when they say something and they're right.
Right.
How are we expecting them to show us respect? What we want is them to show us fear, and that's the problem. That's how we were raised. That's how our parents were raised. They believe that respect means fear, but like you said earlier, if someone fears you, they don't trust you. If I have to fear that you're going to humiliate me by saying something denigrating, or you're going to cause me physical pain,
yeah,
I don't trust you.
Word.
Trust means that I believe that you're going to treat me well because you love me. But if you're beating me saying I'm doing this because I love you, what kind of insanity is that?
You know, let me tell you what I did one time. So I did it a couple times, had a workshop, and dealt with this whole I'm beating you because I love you, right? So I would walk up to somebody in the audience, and I would go, hey, what's up? She would go, hey. I said, I think I like you. And she would go, okay. And then I would say, so can I smack the crap out of you right now, please? Because I like you a lot. I just want to smack you. And they would, like, rear back, and no, you can't smack me. I said, it sounds crazy, right? To strike somebody out of love. And the other day I put up on Facebook, I actually saw somebody else put it up from something I put up before, but it said, a man that hits his daughter teaches her that men that love you can hit you, or men that love you can harm you. And that created such a stir, right? Bunches. Again, some anger. This is a lie. No, it's not. Blah, blah, blah. And it was other people who was like, exactly. Yeah. So the thing, you guys, is this. It manifests in so many ways, because I had one dude tell me in a workshop, he was like, my mother beat us every day of our lives. Like, she just beat us. And so I say to the women, and I've said this in a workshop, for a brother, if black women have always assaulted me, always hit me, always yelled at me, why would I want one?
Right.
Why would I want to be with a sister when black women have whooped my tail my whole life? And so their image of what a black woman is, I could see why you wouldn't want to be with one. That's stressful. Who wants toxic stress in them?
Right.
And so that upbringing, that's for the men, and like I said, for the women, you know, coming up with men can hit you. I've seen women say stuff like, I didn't think he loved me because he never hit me. Like, say it on the judge show or whatever. Like, that's psychotic, yo, to think that hitting, even to think that you deserve the beating. It's deep. And we have to handle that, guys, because no one deserves hitting.
No one.
Right? Now, if somebody coming at you and you defending yourself with a, they want to fight you in the street, you got a gun, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not into violence. I never had that experience. So I'm just saying I can better understand if you have to defend yourself. But when you are bringing harm and violence to the people you love, baby, you just have to think of the memory that you're leaving in that child. I don't care what your intention is. You have the intention to teach them a lesson or to discipline. As you saw in the video, I said discipline. The word comes from the Latin root disciplina. It means to teach, right? It doesn't mean to beat. That's a slavery experience, a slavery word. But when you find yourself going to strike your child, yo, let's just deal with the fact that this is something I got from L. Ron Hubbard talking about how, yo, when he didn't say yo, that's me, yo. But when you experience pain, cells are dying away. You can see that with a bruise. That's what the bruise is. It's dying cells. You can see that with a menstrual cycle. That's cells dying away. Oh, that what pain? That's them cramps and stuff. So creating pain, cells are dying away, and it's like you're killing your children softly and slowly. Why are you doing that? You know, when we can be doing something more powerful, and I always say raise your skills, not your hands, when disciplining children. Raise your skills, not your voice, when you are rearing your children. Get your skills up, like I said in that video. Get your skills up, because the chapter I have called You Got Chosen questions, well, what did you get chosen for as a parent? What did you get chosen for? Did you get chosen by your, I think my daughter chose me knowing I was going to be a single parent, for real, because this is it's always been a very happy environment. She knew I was going to have Scientology, so I was going to be able to teach her a system for doing things. And I think that, you know, I'm a fun mom, so I think that she chose me knowing that she was going to have a good upbringing without chaos, right? And so as a mom, I just look at, well, you know, what should I be strengthening so that she can observe it and then become it? And she's now a teacher who acts very similar to me in the classroom. She has a different personality, but she's also a photographer, and so am I. She's so many things that I am without me having to tell her to do it. She has observed it and done it, and I think that's the main thing, that's what's important, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. My daughter told me that she don't remember saying this, but she was like 18 months old, 2 years old. And she said, she talked about how she told me as a mother, she said, I loved you from when I watched you from the sky.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, I'd have been crying like, oh, God.
For real, like, oh, my
That's
God.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, you know, she's like, you know, less than 2 years old, but she had that pre-birth memory.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, our children do choose us because they want us to be the one that helps them through their earth experience.
No doubt. No doubt about it. My girl Joy said here, that's the problem of ignorance of self. Love should not hurt. You know, I got a whole T-shirt line called Love Don't Hurt. And I think I'm going to bring them back out. But anyway, it says here, I saw that card on my desk last night, and I had to stop and think on that. It says the wind time to raise your skills and not your hand. It's the time to raise your skills and not your hands. Thank you, Joyce. And, Love Don't Hurt, baby. That's a whole campaign, because I'm, like, smacking people out of love, hitting them out of love. Love don't hurt. Now.
Another thing that a lot of us as women have to address, many of our mothers grew up without affection because, again, going back to the slavery time, you're not going to get any love, so you need to learn not to need it. So I'm going to toughen you up by not showing you affection, by not giving you encouragement. And so, you know, you have this stoic mother. In her heart, she loves you, believing that she's making you tough and strong by not showing you.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is cripple you emotionally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so many of us had to learn how to say enduring things to our children because they weren't fed us. We didn't hear I love you. We didn't get a hug. We didn't get affection. We didn't get encouragement. We got slapped and hit and criticized.
Yeah.
That voice of criticism becomes the voice in your own mind that you're repeating, and that's what brings you down and makes you sad. So you have to unlearn beating yourself up inside your own mind.
Man.
And don't do it until we realize we're doing it.
Exactly. I want to play this last video before we leave because this sister just sums it up very shortly and just reminds us of what we should be doing. And let me just share it with y'all real quick. That's all. Love your child. Don't spank your child. Just show affection for them. You guys, if we had more time, I would read it. Maybe I have a little bit, just a minute. But it's a chapter in my book called Pleasure Moments. Pleasure Moments. But it says here, it feels good thinking about them, right? Now, what are, talking about your pleasure moments, and it says, everybody loves pleasure moments. When something feels good, we smile. Sometimes we laugh. At times, pleasure is spent with someone else. Some of us experience pleasure by relaxing by ourselves. It comes in all forms. And it says, I simply want a child's pleasure to be important to us as adults. See my daughter happy and smiling, not pouting and mad. I have witnessed the joy of a four-year-old as he spoke with his dad at length on the train, and I have witnessed a child's joy shut down by an impatient adult who didn't want to hear anything the child had to say. Anyway, very good book, gives you solutions. This has been great. I love my book. I love what it does. Thank you, Naima, for coming on. Thank you, Malati, for coming on. You all have been tuned into Gathering of the Griots. Let's continue to shine, and hey, let's sign out. Love y'all. See y'all next Tuesday. Peace.
We've come to the end of our show today. If you miss any broadcast, go to our website for the audio and video archives at www.thefemalesolution.com. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family joining us from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie xie. India, xianyeba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, asiba. Germany, thank you. Poland, zhongguyong. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, gracias. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, Essen. South Africa, Kiawa. Senegal, Jose. Kenya, Pakistan. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Rashakur. Saudi Arabia and Palestine, Shukra. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. May peace be upon you and mercy God and God bless Mm-hmm.